ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
There are three divisions of devotees: first class, second class, and third class. Even the third class devotees are liberated souls. It is explained in this verse that although they do not have knowledge simply by seeing the beautiful decoration of the deity in the temple, the devotee is absorbed in thought of him and loses all other consciousness. Simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, one is imperceptibly liberated. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Simply by discharging uncontaminated devotional service, as prescribed in the scriptures, one becomes equal to Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Brahma Bhujaya Kalpate. This means that the living entity in his original state is Brahman, because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman. But simply because of his forgetfulness of his real nature as an eternal servitor of the Lord, he is overwhelmed and captured by Maya. His forgetfulness of his real constitutional position is Maya. Otherwise, he is eternally Brahman. So, this is it's an explanation to a very I was thinking about something else. This is an explanation to a verse where Lord Kapila Dev speaks about deity worship. He says, O my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form. With eyes like the rising morning sun, they like to see my various transcendental deity forms, which are all benevolent, and they also talk favorably with me. So here it is described how the devotee likes to come before the deity form, and he likes, and his eyes are compared with the morning sun, which rises in the morning, and the devotees then will offer some prayer. They talk favorably with me. When they see the charming deity forms of the Supreme Lord smiling and so attractive, and when they hear his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. It's in other words described that the Lord talks back to the devotee when he is very advanced. Here two devotees are described: those who just come and take the darshan, and then those devotees who engage in talking with the Lord. The pure devotee has freed his senses from all other engagements and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his own unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Now Prabhupada will talk about this, attaining liberation by serving the deity. When one is trained to become conscious of his position, he understands that he is the servant of the Lord. Brahman refers to a state of self-realization. Even the third class devotee, that's us, who is not advanced in knowledge of the absolute truth, but simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple and brings flowers and fruits to offer to the deity, he becomes imperceptibly liberated. Shraddhayan Vitaha, with great devotion, the devotee offers worshipful respects and paraphernalia to the deity. The deities of Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi and Narayan, and Ram and Sita are very attractive to devotees. So much so that when they see the statue decorated in the temple of the Lord, they become fully absorbed in thought of the Lord. That is the state of liberation. In other words, it is confirmed herewith that even a third-class devotee is in the transcendental position above those who are trying for liberation by speculation or by other methods. Even great impersonalists like Shukadev Goswami and the four Kumaras were attracted by the beauty of the deity in the temple, by the decorations and by the aroma of tulasi offered to the Lord. And they became devotees. Even though they were in the liberated state, instead of remaining impersonalists, they were attracted by the beauty of the Lord and became devotees. So, this is very, very... it shows us a little bit of Srila Prabhupada's plan. He really wants to see that the devotees become liberated from material existence, and therefore he somehow has established deities in the temples and instructed his followers to worship these deities with a program which would absorb them totally in the worship of the deities. They would come and go, and they would have different programs and so on. And then he makes another point. Not only deity worship, but Bhagavatam is also important. Here the word vilasa is very important. Vilasa refers to the activities or pastimes of the Lord. It is a prescribed duty in temple worship that not only should one visit the temple to see the deity nicely decorated, but at the same time he should hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or some similar literature, which is regularly recited in the temple. It is the system in Vrindavan that in every temple there is a recitation of the Shastras. Even third-class devotees who have no literary knowledge or no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. In this way, their mind may remain always absorbed in the thought of the Lord, His form, His activities, and His transcendental nature. This state of Krishna consciousness is a liberated state. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended 5 important processes in the discharge of devotional service: to chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To associate with devotees and serve them as far as possible. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam. To see the decorated temple and the deity, and if possible, to live in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura. These 5 items alone can help a devotee achieve the highest perfectional stage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita and here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That third class devotees can also imperceptibly achieve liberation is accepted in all Vedic literature. So there's an example in terms of the Madan Mohan deity. There was once in Karoli, or near Karoli, an elderly woman who had just a few cows, and she lived by selling the milk of the cows. So this elderly lady would come every day to Karoli and bring the milk which she had milked in a milk container to the marketplace of Karoli. But before, she would take a little cup, maybe this size, and bring it to the pujari to offer to the Madan Mohan. Now, this lady, as we hear, was a poor lady, and she would not have a lot of milk. So therefore, when she would cross a river, she would dilute the milk. Do you understand what is dilute? To bring water in the milk. And once, without her knowledge, a little fish slipped into the milk. And when she went to Karoli and took this cup out to give to the pujari, he detected that there was a fish in the milk. He said, "I almost offered, I cooked the milk with the fish and offered this to Radha Madan Mohan. I mean, I did not know that you put water in the milk. I thought it was pure milk. From now on, you cannot show your face any longer. Yet we won't accept your service." But the lady was very poor and very, very destroyed. She went home and she didn't eat. She just cried. So then, as the night came, she heard a knocking on the door. And when she opened the door, she saw that there was a young brahmachari. The brahmachari said, "Mother, I'm on my pilgrimage to Karoli. I come from Vrindavan. I want to see Madan Mohan, but I just can't travel any longer. It's so late, and also I'm so hungry." I said, "The lady, today is a very bad day for me. I have nothing. I'm so hungry and I don't want to go to other people. Please help me." The lady said, I only have a milk with a fish in it. "If that's the only thing you have, then give me the milk. I will drink it and I will take care of the fish." So the brahmachari drank the milk, and because he was so hungry, and then he said, "Can I sleep in your house?" The elderly lady gave him a place and was crying all night. And it became quite cold. Then when it was very cold, she went up and put a blanket and spread her own blanket over this brahmachari because he was trembling. And then she fell asleep. So when she looked in the morning where the brahmachari had rested, there was no one there. Only a very beautiful golden chata was there. And her quilted blanket was gone. So she was very astonished. Now she knew who was the brahmachari. The brahmachari was Madan Mohan from the Madan Mohan temple. Next morning, she went with the chata to the pujaris. The pujaris were all alarmed. Madan Mohan's chata was missing, and instead he was wearing an old blanket. So the lady said, "I'm here for you. I want to give you the golden chata back. Madan Mohan has come to me and slept with me, and he drank my milk." So the pujaris accepted what the lady said. They gave back the blanket and took the golden chata, and they allowed the lady to bring have milk, and they said, maybe for Madan Mohan you can bring pure milk. So this shows you that the deity really is there to accept our offerings. And we should think when we come to Vrindavan, what will be our gift for Radha Syam Sundar. Maybe we can bring something which is useful for them. I don't know, maybe some pure ghee is available here. And we should offer maybe something which is good for their cooking. I think pure ghee is good. We can bring this from the market. The deity accepts this, and he accepts the devotee, and then he raises the devotee, provided the devotee becomes absorbed in the deity. So Prabhupada, this was Prabhupada's purport on the Bhagavatam 3. I will read to you the text again. And it shows us a little bit Prabhupada's mood, how he is so kind. He says, "With oh, my mother," says Lord Kapila Dev, "my devotees always see the smiling face of my form, with eyes like the rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental deity forms, which are all benevolent," means very kind, "and they also talk favorably with me. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Supreme Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagement, so that he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor." Prabhupada writes at another place, "The devotees express their minds before the deity, and in many instances the deity also gives answers. But one must be a very elevated devotee in order to be able to speak with the Supreme Lord. And sometimes the Lord informs the devotees through dreams. These exchanges of feelings between the deity and the devotees are not understandable by atheists, but actually the devotees enjoy them." So this is a very, very, very nice verse from the Bhagavatam, and I thought on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day we should hear directly from him. I think today, on this day, before we go to bed, we should all pray to Srila Prabhupada and ask him for his blessings in our service and in our lives, so that we will reach the perfection of human life, Krishna consciousness, by his grace. And I think we should do this before we go to bed. So now we will just take our bath, our regular